We're up to the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Beis, and this Amud will complete Perek HaZorek, and Emirat Hashem today will start Perek HaBona, the 12th Perek. The Mishnah says the following: HaZorek v'nizkar me'achar she'yotso mi'yodo. Now we're talking about Shogeg, and a Shogeg for Chil Shabbos is Chayev Eichatos, but as we'll soon see, he has to forget about Shabbos from the beginning of the Malacha till the end of the Malacha. And here, after he threw it up, all of a sudden, before it landed, he reminds himself that it's Shabbos. So now he becomes amazed. And therefore, this is one of the cases that we'll deal with, that he's potter from a chatos, because he's not a shogeg from beginning to end. Another case where he's potter from a chatos for an entirely different reason is klata acher. Somebody came along and caught it. So he didn't do the hanocha. The thrower was not the beniach. Or klata kelev, an animal, a dog in this case, came along and caught the object. Let's say he was throwing a ball, so the dog likes to catch a ball. Oshin nisrafa, or the object fell into a fire and it was burnt. In all the above cases, he's potter. He doesn't have to bring a chatos, either because he's not a shogeg from beginning to end, or because he didn't complete the malacha with a hanocha, by placing down the object. Now, here we go on to, I call it Roman numeral number 2, in the Mishnah, Zarak lasos chabura, bein bi adam ubein bi behema. So one of the malachas of Shabbos is chabura, that means wounding someone and causing him to bleed, and that's a tolda, a subcategory of meleches netilas neshama, which in the language of the Mishnah in Perakal Gadol is called shochet. And he throws something, obviously he throws something very heavy or with a lot of force or perhaps very sharp, and he didn't realize it was Shabbos. So with all due respect to his malicious intent, that has to be taken up as a separate category, but he is now violating Meleches Chabura. But after he threw the object at this victim, whether it be a human being or an animal, Nizkar, he reminds himself that it's Shabbos, Anshalo Nasis Chabura, before he hits a victim, Potter. And this seems to be another scenario which expresses the same rule that we saw before, that you have to be a shogeg from the beginning of the Malach until the end of the Malach. And in Roman numeral number 3 in this Mishnah, the Mishnah formulates a general rule that sort of summarizes that last point that we made. Zeh klal, this is the general rule. Kol chayovei chatos, enom chayovin ad shehei tchilosan v'sofan shgoga. Now, it says here that in order to be chayov chatos, you have to be tchila and sof b'shgoga. Now, in the Malach of Hotzah, in all its forms, there's a tchila and a sof, but there's also something in the middle. Meaning, when he throws the object, that's called an akira, or when he starts carrying an object. When he puts it down in another reshus, or four mamos further down in reshus harabim, that's the anocha, that's the sof ha-malacha. But in between, you know, there could be a few seconds or even more than a few seconds of time. What would be in a case where he was a shogeg at the beginning, a shogeg at the end, but in the middle he was mazed? That's going to be one of the sugyas here that we're going to do on our Amud, Amir Tzashem. Now, Tchilasan Shkaga Vesofan Zadon, Tchilasan Zadon Vesofan Shkaga Pturin. So the Mishnah fleshes out this last formula, this last principle, and says that if he started with the Shkaga, but he finished as a Mazid, he realized it was Shabbos, or in the flip side, he began with an awareness of his Shabbos, but at the end of the Malacha, when it was completed, he was totally unaware of Shabbos, Pturin. Ad she tehei tchilosan v'sofa b'shkoga. So Mishnah is quite explicit. You need to be a shogeg, and therefore unaware of Shabbos from the beginning to the end, or at least at the beginning and at the end. Now the Gemara goes back to the beginning of the Mishnah, Roman numeral number 1, and notice that the Mishnah says that after he threw it, he realized it was Shabbos, and then somebody else caught it, or an animal caught it, or it landed in the fire. So the implication of the Mishnah is, if we don't separate the beginning of the Mishnah from the case of Kolta Acher, but rather we read it in one fell swoop, as one continuum, then it seems like the reason he's potter is because there's an absence of hanocha. So the Gemara immediately says, hanocha chayev. The implication would be that if it had landed in the proper way, proper from the perspective of Melech HaShabbos, and it wasn't intercepted by another person or an animal, etc., then he would be chayev achatas. The only reason the Mishnah says he's potter from achatas is because there was no anocha. So the Gemara asks, v'halo nizkar. But wait a second, the Mishnah says that he reminded himself that it was Shabbos somewhere mid-flight before it landed. So even if it would have been a proper hanocha, if it would have landed on a mokom, which is called Dalet al Dalet, you know, a place that's four tefachim square, he should still be potter. He should be potter, not because there's an incomplete hanocha, but he should be potter because he reminded himself and he was amazed somewhere before the end of the melacha. Tanana, we have our Mishnah, which formulates the principle, kol chayav chatos einu chayav ad shetei tchilos v'sof b'shkoga. We need that he be a shogeg from beginning to the end. So how could the Mishnah say that the reason he's potur is because there was no anocha, implying that had there been anocha, he'd be chayav? Why would he be chayav? There wasn't tchilos v'sof b'shkoga. Amar Rav Kahana, Seifa Ason Lilachta Umisna. So Rabosai, let me leave out the literal translation here of the words Lachta Umisna, just to give you a broad picture of what Rav Kahana is telling us. Rav Kahana says that under what circumstances do we apply the principle of sofan b'mezid, and therefore he's exempt from a chatos? Sofan b'mezid means a significant mezid. How do I measure a significant mezid? It means that he threw something, but he was holding on to the rope. The rope was attached to that object. And oive, midway, as he threw it, it's in flight, he reminds himself that it's Shabbos. He should have immediately pulled the rope back. He could have terminated the melacha before it reached its fruition. He failed to do so, despite the fact that he's aware of Shabbos. That becomes a sofan l'mezid. Now let's work out the nitty-gritty details here. What's lachta u'misna? So we're talking about a clamp. Okay, I have a picture of it here. What happens is that when they used to carry barrels on both sides of the mule, they would tie a mule, a barrel on the right and a barrel on the left. And in order to make sure that the barrels wouldn't fall off, if the mule would tip over one side or lean towards one side or the other, they had something called a masna. Again in Aramaic, that's a kind of a long pole. And at the top of the pole was a lechta. A lechta was a roundish kind of an eitz katan kafuf rosho. So it was a small piece of wood that had a curvature, like a U kind of thing. And what they would do is they would use this kind of a utensil in order to guarantee that the barrels on this side or the barrels on the other side would be secure. So that was the purpose of this particular utensil. Now what he did was, he threw something, but he was still holding on to this masna, and whatever he threw was attached to the lachta, the lechta. And now, says Rav Kahana, when he realizes it's Shabbos, because the object that he threw is still attached, he has the hand with the kli that he's holding onto the rope, he should have retracted it. And he could have retracted it before it would hit its target or land where it was meant to land. Says Rav Kahana, therefore, in the first case of the Mishnah, which is Azorik v'Nizkar, there he simply threw an object. He has no way to retract the object. He's not holding on to any rope that's attached. Therefore, the fact that he realizes that it's Shabbos at some point before it hits its target or lands is totally irrelevant. Because even his awareness of Shabbos would not have any impact. It couldn't cash in any way. It's just theoretical in his mind. Okay, he became conscious of the fact that it's Shabbos, but so what? He has no way of pulling back the object. So that mezid is not called a mezid. Therefore, the Mishnah says he's only parted from a korban chatos because it was caught, it was intercepted before it landed. But in the second case, where he threw something for the purpose of injuring a person, he was holding on to the rope. And that's why the Mishnah says, "V'nizkar ad shelo nases chabura," before the object that he threw hit its target and wounded his victim, he reminded himself of Shabbos. That's already amazing, because at that moment in time, his yediyah, his awareness of Shabbos is very meaningful. He could have pulled it back. So the Gemara is now not happy with Rav Kahana. So lachto masna ogdo biyado. Wait a second. If you're telling me that he had a rope and he threw this object that was attached to the rope, that's called ogdo biyado. There's no chiyuv for meleches zorek or hotza in the case of ogdo biyado. So then, why is the Mishnah telling me that he's potter from a chatos because he reminded himself it was Shabbos, and Rav Kahana says he should have pulled it back? Forget about all that. This is not a maisa hotzah. This is not qualify as an action of hotzah. Hotzah doesn't apply when you're still holding on to the object. The object has to be free, no strings attached. It landed, and that's not your case. So the Gemara answers, Kigon sheniskaven lasos chabura, that what happened was he tried to inflict a wound on someone and he threw it out and he's holding on to ogdo biyado. The malacha that we're dealing with therefore is not maleches hotzah at all. Forget about hotzah. No question about it. Hotzah is not even on the radar screen. What's on the radar screen is maleches chovel. Chovel b'chavera, chovel b'behema. In the case of Chovel, if he victimizes someone, wounds him, he's chayav for Chovel. It's irrelevant whether it's ugdo biyado, he's holding on to the clamp or not. However, will he be chayav for Chatos if, when he threw the object, he didn't realize it was Shabbos, and then, before the object hit its victim, he realized it was Shabbos? The answer is no. He's not chayav chatos, because that's called sofa b'mezid. It says Rav Kahana, why is that sofa b'mezid? Because since he's holding on to the rope, his mezid is that he didn't pull the rope back. And he didn't terminate the action before it came to fruition. The Gemara is still a little bit upset with Rav Kahana. Why? Hanami tnina. I mean, according to Rav Kahana, that's written in the Mishnah itself. It says, Azorik lasos chabura bein ba'odam bein v'behema, v'nizkar ad shelo nases chabura, potter. So it's very strange that the Mishnah gives us a klal that we called Roman numeral number 3 at the end of the Mishnah, that kol shetchiloso v'sofo v'meizid chayev chatos. Why did the Mishnah have to give me that klal? I don't need that rule. You just told me that, excuse me, if he threw an object to wound a person and he realized it was Shabbos midway, he's potter because it's sofa b'mezid. Therefore, we have to introduce Rava. El Amar Rava b'mavir. The Mishnah, when it gives that third paragraph, that rule of Tchilas over Sofo, that's not referring to Zorek. That's referring to someone who carries something by hand. That's called Mavir. So he's carrying it four amos in Rishus HaRabim. And before he gets to the end of the Rishus HaRabim, he remembers it's Shabbos. And this would now fulfill Rav Kahana's requirement, because since he's carrying something, and if he realizes before he gets to the end of the four amos that it's Shabbos, then he should have stopped dead in his tracks before before the malacha completed itself. So the Gemara rejects even Rava. V'azeh klal d'ktoni azrika ktoni. When the Mishnah formulates its klal in this third section, it's going back to the first two cases, both of which are explicitly Zriko cases. So to try and introduce Mavir into our Mishnah in the Zeh Klal, that doesn't sit well with us. The Mishnah is clearly referring to cases of Zriko. Ela Amar Rava Tartei Ktani. What we're going to do is we're going to add two words to the Mishnah, to the Reisha of the Mishnah. And that's going to separate the opening part of the Mishnah with the next part of the Mishnah. And we're going to read it like this. Hazorek v'nizkar me'achar sheyotza miyodo. He threw an object and after it left his hand, he reminded himself that it's Shabbos. That's case number one. Inami, that's what Rav is adding now, which introduces case number two. Lo nizkar, he didn't remember it was Shabbos. And why is he potter from a chatos? Because kol ta acher, or kol ta kelep, or shen isrefo, potter. He's exempt from any liability of a chatos because there was no anocha. So we have now clearly two cases in the Mishnah, two categories, if you will. One category is that he forgot it's Shabbos and then he reminded himself it's Shabbos. And category number two, he didn't remind himself it's Shabbos, but there was never a anocha. In both cases, he's potter. The Mishnah lumps them together, even though they're fundamentally different. And now Rav is rejecting Rav Kahana, and Rav is saying that even in a classic case of Zrika, although he has no, if he reminds himself of Shabbos, he has no way, no how to retract the object. It's already in flight. It's going to land. Nevertheless, he's potter from Achatos. Why is he exempt from Achatos? Because it's Sofo b'mezid. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi has another way of reading our Mishnah. Chisurei mechzor v'hachi ktoni. We have to add a whole section to the Mishnah. This whole section is what's called Bamed Dvarim Amurim. And here's how we read it. Hachi ktoni. Hazorek v'nizkar mi'achar sheyotza miyodo. He threw an object and then he reminded himself that it's Shabbos after it left his hand. Klota acher o klota kelev o nisrefa potu. Implying that since it was intercepted midway, there was no anocha, he's potter. Hanocha, chayav. Had it landed, he'd be chayav. Oh, but here's the chisurei mechzor. Here's where we have to add to the Mishnah. Bamed dvar mamurim. Under what case do we say that he is chayav if it would have landed? Shechazar v'shochach. There was A, B, and C. A, he forgot. B, he remembered, and C, at the completion of the malacha, he forgot a second time. And in such a case, since he forgot, we call that A, and he forgot, we call that C, the fact that he remembered it was Shabbos in betwixt, that's irrelevant. We have now fulfilled the Tchilasa Bishkaga and the Sofa Bishkaga, and therefore he's Chayav Achatas, if there was Anocha. Avalo Chazav V'Shochach, if he reminded himself that it was Shabbos, and he completed and the Malacha was completed, Potter, he doesn't bring Achatas, because Rav Ashi accepts Rav against Rav Kahana, that as long as before the Malacha was completed, he reminded himself of Shabbos, it's not called Tchilasa V'Sofo bishkoga. Shekol chay v'chatos ein chayov v'nat shnei tchilosan v'sofan bishkoga. So again, if he had a sudden flash of memory in the middle, and he reminded himself it was Shabbos, but then he forgot a second time, then he's going to be chayev, assuming there's a hanoch. But if he had a shkoga, and then he became aware of the fact that it's Shabbos, then he's potter from a chatos. The Mishnah establishes, Se'a klal, kol chayove chatos, is ad she tehei tchilosan v'sofon b'chat b'shkog itmar. Here's the following case. We're talking about someone who's carrying an object, four amos in Rishus Rabim, but he carries it six amos in Rishus Rabim. Two, two, and two. Shtei amos, the first two amos b'shkog, he doesn't realize it's Shabbos. Shtei amos, the second two amos, b'mezid, he realizes it's Shabbos. Then again, he forgets that it's Shabbos. Shtei amos b'shogeg, the last two amos were b'shogeg. So the first two amos were b'shogeg, and the last two amos were b'shogeg. In the middle, he had a mezid. Rabba Omar Potter, and Rav Omar Chayev. So Rabba says he doesn't bring a chatos, and Rava says he's chayev a chatos. So now the Gemara analyzes. Rabba Omar Potter, Afilu l'Rabba Gamliel, diomar ein yedil l'chatzi shir. There's a machlokes between Rabba Gamliel and the Chachomim later on in the next perek that we'll start today, Mitzvah Hashem. We won't get up to that machlokes today, but in that perek called Perek Abona, half of which is dedicated to the Malach of Ksiva, which requires that he writes two letters. After he wrote the first letter, forgetting that it was Shabbos, he reminded himself that it was Shabbos, forgot again, and wrote the second letter. So wedged in between the first letter and the second letter, he had a mezid. He was aware of Shabbos. So the Chacham say in such a case, he's potter, because he's not really a mezid from beginning to end. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says he's chayov. And the Gemara explains, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, I'm sorry, Rav Gamliel, is ein yedil l'chatzi shir. No, it's the fact that he was aware it was Shabbos after he wrote one letter. The Torah doesn't prohibit writing one letter. I mean, again, it might be also, but it's not a malacha. So that's called chatzi shir. And Rav Gamliel says that in that case, he's chayev achatos. The fact that in between one letter and the other, he knew it was Shabbos, that's not going to exempt him from achatos. That doesn't register on the Richter scale as a mezid, because ein, and you deal a chatzi shir. Now a case where between two and two he had a two amos in the middle where he was aware of Shabbos is very similar to that case, which is a subject of Machlok Shin Ram Gamliel and the Chachamim. Just like if he has a yedia between one letter and another, here he has a yedia between the first two amos and the last two amos. In amos number three and four, he wears it in Shabbos. And now, what the Gemara is going to try to do is that Rabba says you're potter in this case, and Rabba wants to try to logically prove or offer a logical analysis that he could square even with Rabba Gamliel. And he says the following. Hasam, in the case where Rabba Gamliel says he found out that it was Shabbos between one os and another os, and he's chayev achatos, when he finally finished the Shir Shabbos, Meleches Kosev, and he wrote the second letter, he was a Shogeg. And therefore, Rabbi Gamliel says that the Mezid in between the two letters doesn't have any impact. Aval Hacha, but here, when did he complete the Shir of Meleches Mavir? When he carried it the second set of two amos, meaning amma number three and amma number four. Well, that's when he completed the malacha. That's called the Gemar Malacha. Again, he has to put it down at some point, but right now, as far as the shear of the malacha, he completed the malacha. And at that very moment that he completed the malacha with the third and fourth amos that he was carrying, he was amazing.
And therefore, even Rav Gamliel would say in this case he's potter from achatos, because it's not chilos of a sof of a mezah. The sof shir, the gemar malacha, was done when he was a mezah. Ubemai. And what exactly is the case that Rabba is addressing? Ibizorek, if you're talking about a case where he threw it up in the air, shogegu, even Rabba would have to agree that if somewhere in the middle of his rika he reminds himself it's Shabbos, he still is chayv achatos. Rabba would not exempt him from achatos if he reminds himself while the object is in flight, because once again we have the svara of Rav Kahana that we mentioned before, he has no way of pulling it back, so his idea is irrelevant. Ela b'mavir, but rather it's a case where he's carrying it, and if he's carrying it, ribono shel olam, when he gets to Amma number 3 and Amma number 4 and he realizes it's Shabbos, he should have stopped dead in his tracks before he completed the malacha, and if he didn't do so, he's amazed b'shas gemar malacha. And therefore, says Rabba, he's potter from achatos. You know, we always have to keep in mind the paradox here, that the more we find him guilty, the more he's not liable for achatos, because he's not a shogi, he's amazing. Rava Amar Chayef. Now, Rava has a challenge. Rava is going to try to work it out, even according to the Chachamim. The Chachamim of Rabba Gamliel are going to say that if he reminds himself that it's Shabbos between the first letter and the second letter, then he's potter from achatos. Why does Rava insist that in our case he's chayv achatos? Says Rava, afilu l'rabbanan d'amar yesh yedia l'chatzi shir, that when he becomes aware of the fact that he wrote one letter and it's Shabbos, he's potter from achatos, because yesh yedia l'chatzi shir, he's a real mezid. Hasam hu d'biyado. There, in the case of ksiva, once he becomes aware of the fact that it's Shabbos, he should have immediately stopped his writing, you know, got rid of all of his writing utensils, you know, throw his parchment that he wrote one letter on into the rubbish bin. He should have, there's a real mazid over here. And it's Biyodo. Who told him to write a second letter? I mean, at that point he should have made, you know, tied his hands together so he shouldn't write a second letter. Aval Hocha, ein Biyodo. It's not possible for him to terminate the malacha midway. And lo, and therefore, he's not considered a mezid, and he's chayav achatos. Ubemai, what's the case that Rav is dealing with? Iber mavir, if it's a case where he's carrying it, say, how could Rav say that he's chayav achatos because the mezid doesn't register on the Richter scale because it's not biyodo? Hare biyodo. If he's carrying it, he should have stopped before he got to the four amos. Ela bezorek. But rather, Rav is talking about a case of zorek. And in the case of zorek, once he throws it, and it's out of his hands, it's in flight, it's not biyodo, and therefore his mezid is totally irrelevant, it doesn't register, and therefore he's chayav achatos. Omar Rav, zorak v'noch bepi kelev, over P. Kivshon, Chayav. Rava says something that's very strange to our ears. He threw something, it landed in the mouth of a dog, or in a flame, and he's Chayav. So the Gemara immediately asks, V'anan t'nan, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, Klota acher o klota kelev o nisrafa potter. So Rava has a gewaldige chiddush, a major revolution. Hasam, in our Mishnah, the reason why he's potter is dilo mechavet. He threw it. He didn't expect it to be intercepted by a dog. He wasn't aiming for the mouth of the dog, and certainly not for the flames. And therefore he's potter. That's called lo mechavet. But hacha, my case, is deko mechavet. He threw it deliberately towards the dog. It's a very good shot. He got it into the dog's mouth, exactly where he wanted it. He threw it into a flame, and that's exactly where he wanted to throw it into. So Rava comes up with this new revolutionary idea that you want to define hanocha for the chiyuv hotzah. It depends not objective, but rather subjective. If for you that's the hanocha that you wanted, that gives a chashivus. And therefore, it's considered like a makom dalet al dalet, you know, like a place which is very significant. The mouth of the dog, which is certainly less than four tefachim wide, even those Alaskan huskies don't have a mouth that's four tefachim wide. But nevertheless, it's considered like it's four tefachim wide. Why? Because mechavin, because that was his machshav. That's what he wanted. We had this similar in Rabbi Shimon in a mission in Perek HaMatzniah. Who remembers that if he hides something, even though it's very small, but he locks it up and then he carries it out because he has a purpose for it, even though you and I would never bother locking up such a small amount, then he's chayav. And that's called achshavah. You know, he gave it a certain chashivus. Omer of Bibi Barabaye, Afanan Nami Tnina. I have a brisa to support, I have a mission, excuse me, to support Rava. And this mission is in Masechta Krisos. And it says, Yesha Ochel Achila Achas. He could eat one Achila. V'chayev Aleh Arba Chatos. It's an overlap of so many different violations. And Asham Echad. And he's going to be Chayev one Korban Asham. So he violates five different Averos. What's the case? Hatome she'ochal chelev v'hu nosar min ha-mukdashim. This chelev was part of a behemah zevach that was brought on the Mizbeach, so it has a din of Kedusha, of Hegdesh. And if he is a tome she'ochal Hegdesh, that's a chiv kares. And if he did it inadvertently, he brings a chatos. Not only that, it's chelev. Chelev itself is an iser chatos. And that's a second chatos. Number three, it's nosar. The Torah says that if you eat nosar, then you chayev kares. So it's a third chayev chatos. Not only that, it's me'ilah. And if it's me'ilah, then he has to bring what's called a korban asham. So he benefited from hegdesh. That's called a korban asham. And what day of the year was in the calendar? It was Yom HaKippurim. The Torah says, if you eat on Yom HaKippurim, you chayev kares. So he's got four chiyuve kares, each one that generates in a shogeg situation a chatos. And on top to boot, he's got a chiyuv me'ilah, which generates a chiyuv asham. So he's chayev b'toras tomei shochal kodshim, he's chayev for eating chelev, he's chayev for eating nosar, he's chayev for eating on Yom HaKippurim, and on top, he's a mo'el. And me'ilah generates a korban asham me'ilos. Now, Rabbi Meir wants to introduce a fifth chatos. How so? Rabbi Meir omer, afim hoysa shabbos v'otzio b'piv chayev. Let's say he carried something in his mouth from one rishus to the other, four amas rishus rabbim, and then he swallows it. He's chayav from meleches hotzah. And since he did it inadvertently, he was unaware of the Shabbos, he has another chiyuv chatos. Why don't you add that? Amru lo, I don't want to add that. Eino min Hashem. That's not similar to all the other chiyuv. We're dealing with the following topic. Our koteret, our heading is, how do you violate with one achila many, many different averos? This is not an aver of achila. The Torah doesn't say don't eat this. He's eating something that, from his perspective, is kosher, but he happens to be violating meleches hotzah. Now, even the chachamim agree with Rabbi Meir that in this case he'd be chayav an additional chatos. They're just saying we're not listing it here because it doesn't fit the pattern. Vamai, why should he be chayav when he swallows something? Ha'ein derech hotzah b'kach. I would translate it thusly. I'm trying to avoid here a kasha of Rabbi Kivagin, but anyway, I would translate it, it means that the mouth is not four tefachim wide, and it doesn't have the status of a makom chashuv for a chiyuv hanocha in meleches hotzah. Ella, the only possible answer to this riddle is, came under kamechavin. He had kavana to eat it, to swallow it. And therefore, machshavto mashvile makom. The fact that he wants to put it there and swallow it, that gives the mouth a chashivus of a makom for meleches hotzah. Hachanami here too, in Rava's case, where he wanted to throw it into the mouth of the dog, is kevan dekomachavin machshavto mashvile makom. The mouth of the dog, which is less than four tefachim wide, becomes a makom chashuv for Melecha Sotza. Hajon Alecha Perek Hazorik. And now we get to Perek HaBonet, which primarily is focused on three Melechas, although it covers many, many different Melechas, but primarily Binyan, building. Number two, Makeh B'Patish, completing a perfect something or other, whatever it is. And number three, Melechas Kosev, writing two Osios. Habone, a person builds on Shabbos. Kama Yivne, what's the shear, the minimum amount of building, via Hei Chayev? Habone Kolsha, any amount. The Gemara is going to take this up. What do you mean, any amount? Hamasates. Misates, Rashi explains, is Marbeas HaEvenu Mitakna. When they had stones, very large, let's say Jerusalem stones, for example, they had to square it off with a plane, P-L-A-N-E, and that planing or chiseling, when they soften and smooth out the four sides of the stone, that's called Misates. V'amakabipatish, the last blow of the hammer, or b'matzeh, that's a larger hammer. Hakodeach, somebody who drills a hole. In all the above cases, kolshu chayev, even the smallest amount is chayev. So you have a whole long list of malachos, and the common link to all of them is that you chayev for kolshu. Zeaklal, the Mishnah now formulates a general rule. If a person does a malacha and it's going to endure, now here we have two interpretations of the Mishnah. Some say endure means it's going to be endure for who knows how long, and that's called a malacha miskayemis, because malachas machshevis means it's got to have permanence to it, not something that like in invisible ink, it erasable ink. After an hour or two, it erases. Others interpret that miskayemis b'Shabbos, that all we need is that it should last for the entire Shabbos. He has no intention to take it apart and undo the malacha before Shabbos ends. Chay. Rav Shim Gamliel Omer, af hamake b'kurnis al sadan b'shas malacha chayev, mipnei shu kimisakin malacha. So we have the hammer and the anvil, and he strikes with the hammer on the anvil while he's working, and he's chayev. Normally we assume makeh b'patish is only at the end of the malach. He finished his labor, and then he's makeh b'patish. Here, Rav Shimon says that even during the malacha, even though he's not at the complete malacha, he's still chayev. And the Gemara is going to try to take that up and see why. Kol shu l'may chazya. You're talking about somebody who builds any amount whatsoever. What's it fit for? It's got to be some creative labor. And the Gemara offers a whole bunch of different possible answers to this question. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya says, "Shekein ani chofer guma latznia ba prutosa." A poor person has coins, small coins. That's what he has, and he wants to hide them. So he digs a tiny little hole to put in a few coins. Now, if you're talking about a kol shehu, and it's the smallest amount in this malacha, a guma kol shehu, a small hole, do we have any sort of precedent for that in the Mishkan itself? All the malachas of Shabbos are derived from the Mishkan. So here's where Rabbi Yirmiya is hard-pressed. He says, the Kavose Gabi Mishkan, Shekein Tofre Yirios Chofrim Guma Latznia Ben Machtehem. The sewers, and they had needles for sewing, they had to, after they finished their labor, they would have to hide these needles. Where would they hide the needles? They would dig a small hole in order to hide the needles. Abai Omar, no. You don't hide a needle which is made of iron in the ground. Why? Kevan de mishtaki lo avdiach. They wouldn't do such a thing. Mishtaki means it gets rusty. The last thing you want to do with a needle is to hide it on the ground. Ella, so let's say, Rava says, let's say I have a different case of a binyan kol shehu. Shekein ani osa pitputei kira ktana. He says that if you have a poor person, he has a very small little oven, he bakes whatever small amount. So he creates a little bit of a, like a dreifus, like a tripod that he puts the oven on. And that's called pitpute kira. What does he put on top of this little oven? Lishpos olek deriktana. So he puts on a very small pot. Where do we find such a thing in the Mishkan? The Kavase Gabi Mishkan Mevashli Samimonim Litzba Yiriel Shechasa. What happens when they took the herbs and they boiled them in a cauldron in order to create dye, and lo and behold, they find out that they're missing a little bit. They didn't have enough of, they didn't produce enough dye. They needed more. So in order to fill in that surplus that they needed, they would create a small osim pitputei kirik tana. They would create a small stand for a small stove. Lishpos aleh yorek tana. So they had a very small pot, which they would take a few herbs just to be mashlim whatever they were missing in the dai. The Gemara rejects this as well. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omer, how is that true? Ein anius b'mokom ashirus. In the Mishkan, whatever they did it like a wealthy person. They were not stingy, they did not calculate it. They made sure that there was more than they needed. El, but rather, what's the case of binyan kolshu? Shekein balabais sheishlo nekev bibiroso visosmo. Let's say a balabais has a roof, and there's a small hole in the roof. The rains are falling through that small hole. Sosmo, he plugs up that hole. The kavasi gabi mishkan. We find in the mishkan they had the arios, the curtains that covered the tabernacle. Shekein keresh, shenofla bo darno. Or, for example, one of the beams themselves was attacked by some sort of a worm. And now they have a hole, a small hole in the beam of the Mishkan. We're not going to allow that to go on. So what do we do? Matif litocha aver v'sosmo. He pours into that small hole a little bit of lead. Aver is lead, oferes, lead. And he seals it up. He closes it up. So this seems to be the final opinion, the last opinion that's accepted. Okay. Omar Shmuel, hamitzadeh esa even chaya. Now, normally in construction, when you have a stone, what you do is you cement it down in order to keep it in its place. Say Shmuel, no, that's not necessary. You could do something called mitzadet. Mitzadet means you take the stone, put it down on the ground, and you move it around until the earth is suppressed, and the earth on the both sides will now sort of secure the oven. There's no need to add any cement. And you chay for that on Shabbos. Meisvei, I'll ask you a kasha from a brisa. The brisa says that if there are two people involved in the melacha, one person puts down the stone, the other one puts down the cement. Echad nosein es evan ve'echad nosein es atit. Is that nosein es atit chayav? The one who really secures the stone in terms of the structure of the building, is the one who adds the cement. He's the one who's chayv. The one who puts down the stone, you know, he was machshir, he was a preliminary stage, but that's not the malacha. Binyan means to put the cement on. So how could Shmuel say, I don't even need the cement. All I need is to shake around the stone. So the Gemara says that the machshon, who raised this objection based on the Brisa, he's got a problem too. Why? Let's read the very next line in that same Brisa that you're quoting. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afilu hela v'iniach al gabi dimus shel avonim chayev. He lifted a stone, he put it on top of the stones, and he's chayev. There was no tit, there was no cement. So therefore, you can't quote the Reish of the Brisa without the Sefer. You're quoting the Reish to say, well, it's the one who puts the cement on this Chayiv. And in the absence of cement, there's no building over here, and you're not Chayiv. Well, what about the Sefer? The Sefer says that you have a Dimus, you have a row of stones, one on top of the other. You place one on top of the other, and you're Chayiv. No mention of cement. Ella, but rather, let's go back to square one. Let's get the overall picture of what Melechus Bona is all about. Tlosa binyani hafa. There are three different segments or processes in building. First of all, tata, that's going to be the bottom level. That's where the stones form the formation or the foundation of the entire structure. So based on these stones, if you go to the coastal, you'll see what I mean. Right? Those stones will hold up the whole building. Then we have mitzia. We have all the stones, one row on top of the other, until we get to Elah. Elah is the top level. Tata boitz dudei v'afra. All you need on the foundation level, the bottom level, is litzadeid and afar. You know, it's, as we said before, shake it this way, shake it that way, depress it, and the ground will surround this even. It's a large stone, and it's secure in its place. No need for any cement. Mitzia, but when we get to the next level and all the way up to the top, boy namitina, we need cement as well. In other words, you can't be mitzade the second level because there's no offer there. You can't squeeze it, you know, depress it into the ground. So you must have cement. And the putting of the stone on the second level, third level, fourth level, that's going to be nothing unless it has cement. And finally, Eloi, we get to the top level. Ba'anocha bi'alma. The top level, once you've built up the whole wall, doesn't require any cement at all. Just simply put it down on top. It's a very secure stone. And it's not going to cause any tilting, you know, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's not a problem. So therefore, when we had the statement of Shmuel, and he said, Amitzadeh Seven Chayev, he was referring to the Tatoi, to the lowest level, the foundation level. Doesn't need cement. When the Bryce opens up and its Ration says, no, the one who put the cement out is Chayev, that's the Mitzia, that's the middle section. And then when the Bryce and the Sefer tells us that all you need is to place the stone on top of the rows, it's referring to that top row, and that top row is secure even without adding any cement. Hamasates, the Mishnah says that amongst the various malachas enumerated in the Mishnah that you're chayef for, one is called Masates, and we said Masates means to smooth out the sides of the stone. And the Gemara wants to know, Masates mishum mai chayef. It's obviously a toldah, it's not listed in the Mishnah of the 39 avos malachos, and we have to know which is the av malach, because again, if you remember, if a person inadvertently violates both the av and its toldah, he only brings one chatas. So we got to know which av to subsume masates under. What is the malacha? Also, it's an afkimina l'gavi hasra. We have to warn him, and we have to give him the right warning. So when a person is misates, we have to tell him, hey buddy, you're about to violate Malacha X. Rav omer mishum bone. Ushmul omer mishum makabe patish. Now, Rabosai, if you don't mind, I'm going to start with Shmuel, because my heart here is with Shmuel. It's intuitive. Shmuel says the following. Very nice. You smoothened out this stone, and it's ready for building, to be part of the construction. But did you construct anything? You've got a stone. It's like having a brick. A brick is not a construction. You can't call that binyan. And therefore, what is it? What malacha does it come under? The answer is makah b'patish, meaning on an assembly line, each person does what he has to do. So you have this stone that came out of the quarry and it's full of blitos, you know, protrusions. This guy is in charge of doing the misates. He completes the stone as far as misates is concerned. Could be he passes it on to the next guy in the assembly line who's going to make all sorts of shapes and squiggles on the outside of the stone. He's also going to be chayef for makah b'patish. Makah b'patish means at any stage in the production of something, when that stage is complete, and you have something that is independently complete, that's called makah b'patish. I understand Shmuel very well. Rav breaks new ground here. Rav says that you're chayef for bone. Why? Because in this preliminary stage, where you've completed a stone, that is going to contribute ultimately to the construction, and that's called melechas bone. Now we're going to have two other cases, and again, Rav is going to say Mishum Boneh, and Shmuel consistently Mishum Makah B'Patish. Now we get to case number two. Ha'osa Nekev Belul Shel Tarnagolim. You have a chicken coop, but guess what? It has no window. It has no hole for air to go out. And you can imagine the fumes and the smell inside this chicken coop until you puncture a hole. Rav Omer, if you puncture a hole in this chicken coop, is Mishum Boneh. You've constructed a chicken coop. Ushmul amishum makah b'patish. You completed the coop. Here, I'm in a toss-up. I could hear Rav, because in this case, you've already got a house for the chickens, but it's missing a hole. You know, you got to get the bad fumes out. I could begin to see that that means completing the construction of this chicken coop. Shmuel, on the other hand, says, this is not a major binyan. You haven't really changed the chicken coop in any substantial way. You know, if you have a house and you build windows in the house, or a door, or an entranceway, that's a major primary construction. And you chayav mishum binyan. But just to puncture a little hole in a chicken coop to allow some air to go out, that's not a profound change in the construction. But it is makav patish, because at this point the coop is functional. You can't keep chickens in a closed coop, because without ventilation they're going to die. Third case. Ayel shufta bekupina demora. Okay, now we're talking about a hoe, H-O-E, and you have the handle of the hoe, but you have to attach the handle of the hoe to the iron of the hoe. So you have the iron, and now you have the handle. So what you do is, you first drill a hole in the iron, and another hole in the handle, you line them up, and then you put a peg that connects them together. Until you put that peg, the hoe is non-functional, because the handle is not attached to the iron of the hoe. Rav Amar Mishum Bono, Shmuel Amar Mishum Makav Patish. Once again, consistent. Rav says you've built a hoe, and Shmuel says you've completed a hoe. Utsricha. And the Gemara says we need all three cases. If we had one without the other, or two without the third, we would not know how to draw conclusions about Rav and Shmuel. Why? Tiyashmin and Kamais, if we only had the case of flattening out, you know, planing the stone, is by Hikama Rav. That's where Rav says he's chai bishum binyan, bishum dederch binyan bekach. Anyone who's in construction will tell you that you can't take stones unless you prepare them properly for construction. That's an integral part of construction, and therefore you chai bishum bonah. Avol osen nekev belul shel tarnagolim. If I only had the first statement of Rav regarding smoothing the stones, I wouldn't know that puncturing a hole in the lul shel tarnagolim just to let the foul air go out, that's not really construction. Ein derech binyan bekach. That is not a major kind of change in the binyan. Now, the Marshal adds another point here. I just want to mention it in passing, that in standard buildings, there are no small perforations just to let foul air out. What there are doors and windows, and doors and windows will allow going in and going out. So the window will allow air to go in, or light to go in, and foul air to go out. That's derech binyan. So the answer is that Rav wants to tell you, even this, a hole in a chicken coop, is also considered binyan. I would have thought modele l'shmuel. I would have thought maybe he would be modele to Shmuel, then in the case of puncturing a hole in a chicken coop, he's high for makav patish. Iyashminim b'ha. And if we only had the second case, which is the chicken coop case, b'ha kama Rav. That's where Rav says yechayev mishum binyan. Mishum de dummy lebinyan. Oh, now the Gemara throws a new curveball out here. We thought that the purpose of the hole in the chicken coop is to let the foul air out, and it's not like a window. The Gemara says, nein, that's not true. The avde la vira, not only does it allow the foul air to go out, to escape, but it also allows clean air to come in. And in that sense, the hole of the chicken coop is really a window in a construction, and therefore Rav says, yechayev mishum meleches bonah. But I will be shufta the kupina. Now we're up to the third case where he attaches the iron to the shovel, the handle, to the kupina demorah. Ein derech binyan bekach. V'ema moda leil Shmuel. Maybe Rav would admit that this is not called derech binyan. Why? Because he's just putting together two parts of a utensil and attaching them. That's not binyan. That's not a construction. V'yashmin b'ha. If we only had the case of kupina demora, attaching the hoe to its handle, b'hakamar Shmuel. Here's where Shmuel says that it's makav patish, because this is not at all similar to bona. He's just putting together parts of a utensil. Aval b'hanach tarte, I would have thought in the first two cases where he constructs a chicken coop by puncturing a hole, or when he makes a stone worthy for construction by planing it, moda, emo modele l'rav, perhaps he would admit to Rav that it is moleches bona. Tzricha, therefore we need all three cases. On a question that was asked, Mesates Mishum Maichayev, what is the chiyuv of Mesates, which was the subject of Machlok Shin Rav and Shmuel? Where do you hold Rav Yochanan? And the answer is, Achvile, he showed him, he demonstrated Biyade with his hand. You know, he took his fist and he banged down on the palm of his hand, and therefore he's Chayev Mishum Makabapat. So he agrees with Shmuel. Va'anan t'nan, our Mishnah says, Amasates v'amakevipatish. The Mishnah says, Mesates and v'amakevipatish, implying that they're two separate entities. Emo, you have to reinterpret the Mishnah. Hamasates ha'makevipatish, meaning it's in a positive phrase. And Mesates, which is makevipatish. Toshma, we learned in a braisa, and here we're turning to Daf Kuf Gimel. Hakodea kol shu chayev. If he drills a small hole, he's chayev. Bishlem l'Rav, I understand this according to Rav. Why? Because when you draw a hole, then it's similar to the case of the chicken coop, which Rav said that if you draw drill a hole in a chicken coop, then you're chayev, and that's Melech's bonus. Here also, Mechze Kiman Dechar Churto L'Binyon. It looks like he's drilling a hole for the benefit of a building. So now that I have a hole, now I can put nails in or whatever I want to put in. El Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, who says that when you drill a hole, like in the case of the chicken coop, you have completed something, okay. In the case of the chicken coop, that was what we were missing. But drilling a hole in a wall, I mean, with all due respect, you're not completing anything. Lav Gemar Molochahu. So how is that Makav Patish? And the Gemara answers, Hochamayaskinon Debaze Biramtsa de Parzla. In other words, he took a nail, a long nail, and he knocked in the nail into the hole. So he didn't take a drill and drill a hole, an empty hole. But rather he created this hole by knocking a strong nail into the hole. Vishavki begave, and he leaves the nail there so that now he can hang up something on that nail. And hainu gmar moloch, and now he's completed his moloch. Okay, then we're almost up to the next Mishnah, but there's a nice little sugya that we'll start with tomorrow here on the top of Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph Amir Tzashem. After the two dots, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer. I'm sorry, Zaklal, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down from the top on Kuf Gimel. Let me say thank you and have a good day.